Blog Talk Radio.
No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or healthcare plan, you can keep it. If you don't have insurance, you'll finally be able to afford insurance. And everyone will have the security and stability that's missing today.
Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius did acknowledge some people will see their health care costs go up.
I just see a huge train wreck coming down. You and I have discussed this many times, and I don't see any results yet.
I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan.
I never said that we should try to go ahead and get single-payer.
The president has directed us to take action to fight these cartels, and Attorney General Holder and I are taking several new and aggressive steps as part of the administration's comprehensive plan to fortify its Project Gunrunner, which is aimed at disrupting arms trafficking between the United States and Mexico.
I'm not sure the exact date, but I probably heard about Fast and Furious for the first time over the last few weeks.
I heard on the news about this story that Fast and Furious.
Jake, let's be clear. These protests were in reaction to a video that had spread to We certainly don't know otherwise. We have no information to suggest that it was a pre-planned attack. The unrest we've seen around the region has been in reaction to a video that many Muslims find offensive.
This video is disgusting and reprehensible. It appears to have a deeply cynical purpose to denigrate a great religion and to provoke rage.
I don't care how offensive this video was, and it was terribly offensive, and we should shun it.
What happened this week in Cairo, in Benghazi, and many other parts of the region,
was a direct result
of a heinous and offensive video that was widely disseminated, that the U.S. government had nothing to do with, which we have made clear is reprehensible and disgusting.
Well, it's too early to know exactly how this came about, what group was involved, but obviously it was an attack on Americans.
I thought it was a terrorist attack from the get-go. I think everybody in the mission thought it was a terrorist attack from the beginning.
I asked her why the ambassador had said there was a demonstration when the embassy had reported only an attack.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
But let's be clear. Benghazi happened a long time ago.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now. You feel that?
Welcome back to the program once again. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. And remember, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, sorry for the mishap this morning with all the cues. Like a broken left-handed tongue, I've got five broken left-handed right fingers. So, that's my bad, my fault. Moving right along. If you want to be a part of the program today, 646-716-7978. Unlike the government, I do admit when I screw up. I screw up. All right, I botched the opening this morning. Oh, my God in heaven. Does that make me weak now? Am I weak? Because I stand up and I admit that I screwed up? Why can't our government do that? Look how many things they have screwed up but flat refuse to admit that they screwed it up, and they keep it going until everybody's lives are completely just... Everything is done. Look at this Obamacare. Now we got stories. I can't wait to get into this morning. I mean, it's going to... First of all, we all know what's going to happen. We don't need to have these goddamn news reports. Tell us what the hell is going to happen. We already know. We're smart. Why is nothing done? They know it. Everybody knows it. The government knows it. The people know it. But then why do we allow this to continue? Knowing full well, this is what I'm talking about. Human beings are the stupidest freaking people you will ever meet. They're brilliant, but they're idiots. My God, you know full well that it's not working, can't work, never will work, no matter what you do to it. But we keep doing it. Why? Well, that's the government. You know the government. No, I don't know the government. Jesus Christ. All right. There's lots to get through today. And as if you can tell, I don't think I'm ever going to shut up. But there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. So let's lift this jib and get this goddamn ship underway. Mozambique, shift colors. All right, we are officially underway and headed out to sea. While the administration publicly expresses full confidence, oh yes, they have full confidence, in anything that they do, of course, I've got full confidence in Eric Holder. I've got full confidence in Kat Sebelius. Sure, I've got full confidence in everybody, except for the Tea Party. Those Republicans. They're evil. They want to eat your children. Rape your pets. While the administration publicly expresses full confidence in its health care law, privately it fears one part of the system is so flawed, bankrupt insurance companies, and cripple Obamacare itself. Duh. Week after week, month after month, says John Goodman of the National Center for Policy Analysis. What the hell is that? We got all these national centers for policy analysis. You know where you get your best analysis from? From the people that the policies affect. Well, why don't you go out and analyze well the American people and find out how well your goddamn policies are working? Why don't you, first of all, take a look at the 91.5 and fastly growing people unemployed in this country. Take a look at that first. Huh? How's that for an analysis? Much, really. I mean, you don't really have to run this data into a computer, form a committee and several subcommittees, and have focus groups, discussion groups. You don't need that. You take a look at the American livelihoods. Take a look at the quality of life in America. You just look around. Look at Detroit. Go take a trip to Detroit and analyze that. How about that? Huh? How about that for a policy analysis? And you need a national center? John Goodman of the National Center. I'm not saying anything about John Goodman. I don't know. And I don't know anything about this story. I haven't had a chance to read anything yet this morning. We opened up our show last night. It was a good show. We got tons of laughs. Actually, we got more laughs than anybody. there was a couple of dramas, but we got the laughs, so hopefully we are headed to the finals. We'll find out. We got another show tonight and tomorrow. I don't know if we got one on Saturday or not. I don't know. But in any event, I haven't had a chance to do anything. I got home late. Couldn't go to sleep. When I do a show, man, I can't go to sleep. I can't go right to bed. I get done with the show, boom, 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 even though this is just a one act. I was on stage, you know, it's just a one act. It's a, you know, I think we got it down to 17 minutes. It's on a real small stage. It's great. It's a great, cute little theater. It's clean, very nice. It's cozy. It's warm. It's comfortable. That's a good show. So, anyway, back to where the hell we are. I'm not making fun of John Goodman. I don't know this guy. I don't know anything about him. But I'm sick and tired of all these centers and the stupid CBO, Congressional Budget Office. Oh, they're bipartisan. What the hell does that mean, bipartisan? Because you go along with the liberals? That makes you bipartisan? Because you agree with the Democrats? Okay, I understand. Week after week, month after month, says John Goodman of the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Obama administration kept telling us everything's working fine, there's no problem, and then they turn on a dime and fire their contractor. Well, they had to, because while the public realized that $677 billion of their dollars went down the goddamn toilet. So to justify, the story continues, a no-bid contract with the Accenture, I guess is how you pronounce it. All these names. Again, with these names. Don't try to impress me with your stupid name. Oh, it sounds. It's got a positive energy with it. No, nobody cares about the stupid goddamn name. They care about what you do. And this company, I'm sure, it's going to be a dog, too. They're going to do everything they can to put this frickin' thing together. It's going to be a mess. They can't figure it out. This CGI company screwed it up to the point where it's just unfixable. I mean, how incompetent can you possibly be? Why were we allowing this? Why is there not instamatic justice on this? I think this is something. No, you can't just wait it out and see if it's going to work. There's no possible way this is going to work. I mean, that is sheer stupidity to think that something that just has never gotten off the ground. We spent 3 years with $677 million friggin' dollars to build one website, and it's still not complete, and it's not secure. So people can go in when all the money has to come in. When the unions, those union workers, I'm telling you, them union workers are not going to put up with this Obamacare crap, losing their health care. They are not going to tolerate it, but they're going to have it. The employer mandate kicks in this year. We already seen what it did in 2 months. And now we're on, the fourth, fifth month, whatever the hell it is. Goddamn eternity. Do you really, really think that it's going to get better? It's going to work because we're going to put in a positive attitude and put a young little geeky-looking dude in his little pajamas drinking cocoa. Well, that'll get him. Boy, I tell you, every college kid is going to go out. No, the pajama sales are going to go through the roof. Everybody's buying pajamas. Hot chocolate's going to be wiped out of the supermarkets. You can't find hot chocolate anywhere. That Instamatic stuff, can't find it. Put it in there, put it in milk, get the Instamatic, the water, which I drink because it's easier. Hate having to buy milk. Pain in the ass. How is that? I mean, singing rap songs to get people to sign up for this thing? How is that going to sign anybody up? How is that going to make you as a kid, as a young, I hate this term now, millennial? I'm sick of that word. Again, with these new buzzwords. Again, the buzzwords can't deal with the buzzwords. Enough buzzwords. Enough with the fancy names. and the acronyms and all this crap. Just speak English and shut up. But to justify a no-bid contract with Accenture, oh, that sounds so impressive, I've got to do business with them, after firing CGI, who's been fired out of, I don't know, Canada and England and a whole bunch of other places. They have never, I don't think that this company has completed a goddamn thing. How do they get all these contracts? They must have a lot of friends and a lot of governments. I mean, what does that say? What does that tell you right there? What does that tell you about our government, that we can't even investigate a goddamn company? Here we are going to invest damn near $1 billion, and I'm sure when it's all said and done, after everything is completed, if we allow this to continue, it's going to be well over $1 billion. Don't think for one second that it won't. That's naive and stupid and dangerous. But it's not their money. If it was their money, they wouldn't have spent. First of all, they would have never spent $677 billion goddamn dollars, or $1 million, whatever. I don't care what it is. It's a website. 3 years, and you have $677 million to get one website done and ready to go. Who was in charge? I thought Kat Sebelius was in charge. Well, no, she's not. See, we hire these contractors. That way, the government official is free and clear. They don't have to be responsible. See, that's what I don't like. Now, when I first learned what got in the Navy, they said, you know, you can delegate authority, but you cannot delegate responsibility. That always stuck with me. I remembered that. And it's true. You can delegate authority. It's easy. Okay, you're in charge. Go get it done. But you can't delegate responsibility. This guy who's been sent on a task, he goes out there to his troopers, says, okay, we need to do this, 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 and this. Well, if it doesn't get done, he comes back and says, well, didn't get done. They didn't do it. Well, no, that's your fault. You didn't get it done. Because now it's my fault because I was told to get it done. So now I got to take time out of doing my regular stuff to go babysit you because you can't seem to get this stuff done. But since it's a government, well, I didn't do anything about it. I paid the contractor. They told me that it was all working great, and then we found out at the last minute that it wasn't going to work. You can't use that as an excuse. I'm sorry, but you cannot use that as an excuse. You're going to take their word for it? Oh, how's it going? Oh, it's going great. Really? Show me. Show me. I want to see this going great. What does it look like? What does going great look like? Huh? Well, we're still working on it. We got some security issues. We've got some things. You know, we'll get back to you. No, goddammit, you're going to get back to me now. I want to see what you have done. I'm investing the American taxpayers $677 million goddamn dollars. I want to see where this money's going to. We've got 3 years to get this done. I want to get it done. I want to get it done now. I want it up and running. I want all the bugs completely freaking worked out before we go online. 3 years. There's no excuse why you build one website to make sure all the bugs are cleaned out. You got 3 years to do it. I'm sorry. I find that absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Why was that done? Why was that? Is that a part of a master plan? I don't know. Some people believe it is. Some people believe it isn't. Some people believe it's incompetence. I think it's a combination of just about everything. That's my personal opinion. But it does look incompetent. And it makes the world think that we're incompetent. It makes the American people think that our government is incompetent. So why do we allow it? Why do we continue to vote for more of it? Why is that? I don't know. I do not have the answer for that. Why people think that what's going on right now is the country's doing good, I don't understand where they get that information from. How you can get to that point is mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it. I'm not looking for the doom and gloom. But 91.5 million people out of work. Cities all across the country are struggling mightily to stay away from bankruptcy. Some of them are having to slip into it. People are out of work because they can't find work because the work has been, that occupation has been removed. The president goes ahead and just gets rid of the, you know, does everything he can to get, you know, he minimizes the oil industry. If he had his way, there wouldn't be any oil, period. He's allowing the EPA to completely get rid of the coal industry, and he's for it. He loves that. Where we're going to get our electricity from, I don't know. Windmills are just, they're not going to do it. There's not enough, there's just not enough room on planet Earth to build enough goddamn windmills at this point that can handle the amount of electricity that we need, that we have now. Do you want to lose it? Well, everybody's got to sacrifice. I'm not sacrificing anything because of your ignorance. And your incompetence. Why should I have to sacrifice because of your stupidity? Your nonsense. I have to sacrifice my life? What I've worked for, what I want, how I like to live, I have to sacrifice my freedoms, my way of life, my rights, my liberties, my thinking. I have to sacrifice that for you because you're what? Well, yeah, exactly. I'm not sacrificing for anybody. I shouldn't have to. And when I mean sacrifice, I'm not talking to somebody's life in danger. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about rights and liberties. I'm not going to sacrifice. I should not have to sacrifice my rights and liberties, and neither should you. Nobody should. Nobody in this country. No free person in this country, which we are all free. But you have to consider yourself free in order to be free. If you consider yourself free, there's no excuse why you have to give up your rights and liberties and freedoms for a terrorist. We stand up to terrorism. We don't give in to their demands. I'm sorry, but we do not. As far as I know, there's some kind of motto somewhere. We do not negotiate with terrorism. Period. Any kind of terrorism. I mean, at some point you got to take a stand. We got to sacrifice. Well, it's all in the name of national security. It's not the name of no national security. It's the name of tyranny. It's the name of power. And you get to have it because you've got a badge. Shut up with that badge. We don't have a problem with the police force. We have a problem with the police force. We have a problem with your overtaking your power, not understanding the purpose, really, for your job. Your job is not to harass the innocent. You don't get involved until somebody is a threat to society, for Christ's sakes. And not everybody's a threat. Especially a 10-year-old kid who uses his fingers as a goddamn mock bow and arrow. That's not a threat. Protection is common sense. I know that's a subjective term. I'm sorry, but you cannot convince me, man. I don't think there's enough drugs on planet Earth that I could possibly take that could ever convince me that a 10-year-old kid mocking, or 12-year-old, however old, I don't care how old he was, 10 years old I think it was, how a 10-year-old kid is mocking a fake bow and arrow, how that is a threat to anyone of any kind. I simply do know that's not using common sense. Take your badge and shove it. Badge is not what gives you respect. That gun does not give you respect. That uniform, those shine shoes, all those medals you have, that doesn't give you respect. Your nightstick does not give you respect. Your pen that you write your little tickets with, that does not give you respect. You have to find that yourself. Going is not working. Just because you have that badge does not mean you have total, complete, total power. And when people are kissing your ass, that's not respect. That's out of fear. Fear is not respect. Maybe we should come into your house, invade your house with no warrant, because we suspect that you might in the future commit a crime that would make you feel, huh? Well, you can't do that. But why? Well, I'm an officer of the law. I get to do that. That's my job. You're a civilian. You can't do that. That's against the law. Now you're going to go to jail. Oh. Ah. The Fourth Amendment is in that Constitution for a reason. So is the First and the Second. The Third. That's coming. Don't think it ain't. The Fifth, the Sixth, the Seventh, the Eighth, the Ninth, the Tenth. They're in there for a reason. They need to be followed. Not only by the citizens, not only by the government, but yes, by the law enforcement as well. Everybody. Every citizen. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, where the hell were we? Let's try it again. To justify a no-bid contract with the censurer, after firing CGI as the lead contractor, the administration released documents. Released documents. Oh, I wonder how redacted they were. They released documents from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services that offered a rare glimpse of its worst fears, saying the problems with the website puts the entire health insurance industry at a risk. And that's in quotation. So that's exactly what they said. Potentially leading to their default and disrupting continued services and coverage to consumers. Well, this to justify a no-bid contract. Well, they come up with all of this. Now, since they released this, now they open themselves up. So if they're really saying this, and it's in quotations, what does that say? I think it says a lot. And I think now this is opening up the eyes of more Americans that just, for whatever reason, are still comatose. I'm just wondering what more, how much more evidence is it going to take? What, I mean, it keeps getting bigger and bigger. This pot keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Every day there's more. I haven't even come close to finishing the story yet, and there's a lot more. What? How much more is it? What is going to have to happen before we say, you know what? It was a nice try, but ain't working. We're out of money. China's not going to lend us any more money, and we can't buy enough toxic mercury-laden baby-killing light bulbs to pay them back. So we're going to have to do some things other than what the hell we're doing now. And the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to open up business. America is now open for business. That should be right there, Reince Priebus, or whoever's running for president. That should be the motto of the Republican Party running for president. America is now open for business. And then we need to open the goddamn place. Open it up, man. Get the cotton candy spinning. Get the popcorn popping. Get them hot dogs. The Ferris wheels are turning. Bring people out, man. Open up them businesses. And when I'm talking about the popcorn, I'm talking about the real business. I'm being metaphorical. Talking about the oil industry. I'm talking about the coal industry. They talk about innovation, but they're not innovating anything. What are they investing money in? This green crap? This Solyndra? How many companies? There were several. It wasn't just Solyndra. There were several. Several of these companies. Okay, you want to invest in innovation, you need to be smart. I still think that if we're going to get away from all this, you know, fossil fuels, as far as burning it for, we still need it for plastics, and we still need it, women need it for their nylons, a lot of their makeup and their bottoms of their, you know, shoes. There's a lot of clothes, anything nylon, rayon, any kind of on, comes from oil, plastic, everything. Damn near everything you buy today comes from oil. So we can use it for that. But we need to have, if we really want to break away from using all these fossil fuels and using coal, well, we can't just legislate and say, okay, the coal industry is out. Now what are all these, you know, millions of people that used to have a job, what are they doing now? You can't just do that. There has to be a transition. So what you do is you create like a Manhattan-style kind of project. You put the smartest and the best goddamn island somewhere if you have to. Jurassic Park if you have to. Lock them in with the goddamn dinosaurs and you can't get out until you figure this out. But the point is you put a bunch of people together and it's funded by I think not only, you know, businesses, but the government as well. It needs to be a combined effort and the government needs to stay the frig out of it. Get the smartest and the brightest and just get it done. Do it in a timely manner. But you can't expect technology just to be created by business, corporate business, corporations. I mean, they can only do so much. I mean, these car companies can only invent so much. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. There's only so much money they have. There's only so many people they have. There's only so many resources that they have. They can do a lot of stuff, which they do. But what Congress has forced them to do, or should I say the EPA has forced them to do, you can't just legislate technology. You have to create it. If they're going to come out, the EPA is going to come out with all these recommendations of what you can't do, they need to tell you exactly what you can do and how to do it. Otherwise, shut up. So this so-called report, I guess, these documents that were released, I think they stepped in it again, if you want to, you know. It doesn't, I mean, how they think, I mean, they lie about everything else. They lie like they're still lying about Benghazi. And Fast and Furious and IRS. Then they come out here, why they're not... I mean, they're still lying about this, yes, but they're going to release this stuff. Well, they think it's going to make it look like, well, the company was incompetent. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to put the blame on the company. I mean, we were talking about you cannot responsible. You are responsible. You cannot delegate that responsibility. Katsubius, you had a responsibility to ensure that this thing was set up and done. And Mr. President, pro tempore, Barry Satoro, you had a responsibility, since this was supposed to be your goddamn legacy, to make sure that this was done. And if it wasn't, Kat needed to lose her job. CGI should have been fired over 2 years ago. Your attorney general should have been fired right off the bat, man, when you heard it on the news. How the hell does a president hear about things on the news? Why is the president watching the news? If the president has time to watch the news, he's not really being president. Now, if there's a major emergency, of course they're watching television or watching newscasts and stuff. But they've got other reports. They've got, like, real reports. But when you're just simply watching the evening news, oh, yeah, the scandal. Oh, yeah, you hear about Fast and Furious. Oh, yeah. Well, you think maybe if he did hear about it on the news that he would quickly call his attorney general and say, hey, WTF? Hello? You know, somebody's got some splaining to do. That happened? No. Stood by, old Eric, because they're friends, they're buddies, they're pals. So this report went on even further, saying if the problems were not fixed by mid-March, mid-March's coming up. What is that? Let's see, we're in the middle of January already. Look at that. January, we're almost towards the end. Let's see, what, the 23rd already? God damn. So we got about a week left. And then a month. So we got a little over, we got a month and a half and a week. Less than 2 months. If the problems were not fixed by mid-March, they will result in financial harm to the government. Oh, no. Like the $17 trillion and growing is not already a financial harm to the government? 91.5 million people out of work is not a financial harm to the government. People losing their jobs, losing their hours, that's not a financial harm to the government. It's certainly a financial harm to the American people. We know that. And if the American people are financially harmed, yes, it does go to say that the government is going to be financially harmed. Since the government is operated, well, by the public money, the public, the people, the citizens, their tax dollars. Well, if they're not working, they're not paying taxes. I mean, these are just simple, basic mathematics. That's all this is, but liberals can't understand that. They can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. It does not compute. Why? I don't know. If I had the answer to that, I'd be a friggin' gazillionaire. Somebody needs to invent an anti-liberal machine. You go in and get liberally deprogrammed. It even added that without the fixes, now this is in quotations too, so, the entire health care reform program is jeopardized. Everything the right said that was going to happen, the Tea Party, the people on the right, everybody. All posers, everybody who opposed Obamacare told you exactly what was going to happen. This stuff was out. You were going to lose your doctor. That was out early. That's why he came out with that, to counter it. Don't listen to them Republicans and Tea Parties. Don't listen to them people. They're racists. You listen to me. You can keep your doctor. You can keep your plan. You can keep your insurance. You can keep anything you want. Don't you listen to them now. You listen to me. Well, they did. And here we are. Everything that we were telling you from the very beginning, this was very early on. I don't want to hear anybody say, well, I never heard of this before. Wait a minute. You didn't. Pay attention then. That's why he came out with you can keep your plan, because the right realized that they wouldn't be able to keep their plan. And they bitched about it. I heard it all over radio. You did hear it on certain TV stations or station. But it was out there. And you heard it. Just because you didn't pay attention to it and you didn't take heed does not mean that it was never said and you didn't at least hear it. You just weren't listening to it. That's why you don't remember it. Because it was coming from the right, the Tea Party, because they're racist. And you can't believe it, what a racist says. Well, there's no integrity in a racist. So what do they know? Well, looks like we knew a hell of a lot, didn't we? The story continues. In spite of the urgent, which is in quotations, urgent, in spite of the urgent need officials cited to keep the system from collapsing. The White House spokesman said he knew nothing about it.
Well, I don't know nothing. What are you talking about? I don't know nothing.
I didn't see the article. I'm not aware of those statements, said Mr. Jay Carney.
Nobody told me. I didn't know nothing. I didn't see nothing.
How is that continually an excuse? And why are they allowed to get away with it? How many more times do we have to hear that I didn't know? Nobody told me. Found out on the news. You cannot delegate responsibility. And then, when you do delegate the responsibility, when they do screw up, well, no one is taken. And those that do the biggest lies for you get promoted. Susan Rice. What was her new promotion? She's moving up in the world. Of course she is. They had to promote her. If they were to, well, demote her, fire her, she would talk. She would spill the beans. That's why they promote her. Now she's got a great position to keep silent. Now, how is that putting the best person for the job in the job? Putting somebody who, well, may not be really qualified. Maybe she isn't. I don't know. It's not the point. But you do stand to reason that there's far too many people that are not qualified in government. And we've seen the, well, results. 91.5 million people out of work. You know, cities are bankrupt. A lot of murders. Nobody has health insurance. Quality of life is dropping dramatically. The businesses are not allowed to conduct business. And those that do are taxed to the point where they just have absolutely nothing at the end of the month. Or they can never grow. People losing their hours and their jobs and cars. They've got to be repossessed because they can no longer afford the payments. Their houses are being... I mean, it's just... come on. How can you not see that these policies are just simply not friggin' working? It doesn't take... you don't have to be that smart. You don't have to have a piece of paper with your name on it and a PhD next to it to understand that this is not working. It can't work. And it's foolish and dangerous to keep spending more, millions and millions and millions upon billions, and now adding into trillions of dollars that we just simply do not have. We can't keep borrowing this much money. We are over $17 trillion in debt. And if this president is allowed to continue his full term, we will be well over $20 trillion. When he took office, the debt was $10 trillion. When he leaves, it's going to be over 20. That's over $10 trillion. Which means that's more debt than all presidents combined. $10 trillion. I thought $10 trillion in debt. I thought that was a lot myself. I remember when it was around 6. I thought that was a lot of money. I thought that was foolish and ridiculous. But now we're looking at, well, why not just make it a cool even 25? Why not a goddamn 100? Why not just keep going until there's nothing left? Why not? Turn every city into Detroit. Sure, why not? That defeats the whole purpose of, first of all, governing. Defeats the whole purpose of a nation, especially a free nation. We should be allowed to prosper. The American people have to do the innovating. But the government has to stay out of the way so we can. They should be supportive. They shouldn't be controlling over everything. Look what happens. Every time the government takes control over anything, look what happens to it. And you want them to take more control, more power? What are we going to have? What that naturally brings a tyranny. And who's to say that we won't get a vicious dictator in there at some point if we're going to have tyranny? I mean, look at dictators of all throughout history. Oh, they were all, oh, yeah, saving the world. Oh, everybody loves us. Oh, yeah, what a great, oh, yeah, love, love, love. What a great man, great dictator. Oh, he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. The whole point is you just don't allow it to happen, period. You don't give that much power to anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. You're the president. That's why we have three branches of government and not one. So Jay Carney didn't see the article. He doesn't know anything about it. So he can't talk about it. That's code for I do know a lot about this, but I can't talk about it because, well, the Spinmeisters haven't finished their talking points yet. So they're still working on it. So when they get it later on today, hopefully, then I'll have the correct answer for you. The dangers were known in early December, but later, shortly before CGI was fired, Health and Human Services Secretary, our good friend Kat Sebelius, gave Fox News an upbeat account. Well, oh, yes, of course. I'm thrilled. Now, this is in quotation, so she really, really said this. I'm thrilled that we're going to have millions of people for the first time that have health security. Really? But how many do you have that have health security now? Well, we don't really know because, well, the website isn't completed yet, especially with that information that has to go over to, well, the insurance company so they get paid and they put all your data in there so that they know when you go in with a, you know, your jugular vein slit from ear to ear and you need to get some, you know, medical attention rapidly, well, that they can go ahead and work on you and everything will be taken care of. But no, nobody knows who you are. Well, we'll try to help you as best we can, but don't expect too much. Don't think for a second people aren't going to start throwing absolute riot fits in these doctor's offices and emergency rooms, man. There's going to be people fighting and people going nuts, man. You don't mess around with people's health cares, man. You don't be doing that. It's going to be sad. It's going to be tragic. And these women and men behind the counters there, the nurses, whatever, that take your information, they're going to get the brunt of it, man. And they're not the ones doing this crap. Some of them do get a little cranky and grumpy, you know, which is really going to just instigate the problem. Why we didn't just simply concentrate on the whatever number X of people that weren't insured by, well, getting them jobs would have taken a big chunk of that. Then once we got everybody a job that we could possibly get a job, then we can work on the other stuff. Then we can work on, you know, more of these other people. We can actually work on it at the same time. But the point is, you can't just expect to get 50 million people to sign up for something that they can't afford. These preconditions, first of all, I don't think insurance companies... You know, you got a job insurance company. Insurance is insurance. Health insurance is insurance. You should be able to pay for it. I do know it's a business, but just because you've got, you know, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to, you know, especially if you've been with an insurance company for 10, maybe 20 years, and you get cancer and they drop you? Now what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to pay for that? See, I mean, I think that's a little bit unfair. Insurance is for insurance, man. What the exact answer is, I mean, you can debate that for, you know, forever. But the point is, we didn't concentrate on the people that were uninsured. We concentrated on the people that were already insured. That is what the problem was. They didn't have a clear direction other than to bring it single payer. And government then has more control, total control over every aspect of your health care. which means they will have government bureaucrats deciding if Granny gets a hip surgery, Daddy gets a new heart, little sister gets a new foot. It's going to be up to bureaucrats, government-paid officials. Doesn't that scare anybody? It scares the living bejesus out of me. But that's just me. So old Cat, I'm thrilled that we're going to have millions of people for the first time that have health security. Shortly after the website went live, one official told Congress a critical part of the system, what is known as the back end, had not even been built yet. Well, that should have sent a couple of red flags. I mean, I'm just saying, right? I mean, you think maybe a couple of bells and whistles and somebody would have said, wait a minute, this ain't built yet? Nobody spoke up. Nobody said nothing. Nobody asked a question. Nobody bothered to say, hey, give me a test run on here. Let me see what this looks like. You didn't do that, Kat? Huh? Hmm? Health and Human Services Secretary? Supposed to be, overseeing the whole operation? Are you telling me she didn't once go see this website to make sure that it was working properly? She just accepted whatever they told her? Isn't that like incompetence? That's lazy, first of all. That's number one. That means you, either don't give a damn or you don't know that you're supposed to, check up on that stuff. Show me that it's working. Or was she told to make damn sure that they didn't do it correctly? See, we don't know. We can't get a straightforward answer from anybody, from any side. So now we are left to speculate. Well, I'm sick and tired of having to speculate. I don't want to speculate. I just want the truth. I don't care what the truth is. I just want the truth, whatever it is. Just tell me. Why is it so important to lie about everything? If you're lying about everything, well, then don't you think maybe you should start doing a few things right rather than wrong? I mean, if you're afraid to say anything that you've ever done, that's kind of scary. It's like, well, what are you doing that you're proud of? Well, if you're Wendy Williams, you just make it up and then run for governor and blame the biography on your opponent. That's how these people are. They can blame a Republican for anything. Doesn't matter what it is. When you go and cheat on their wives, it's a Republican's fault. They made me do it. Stole money from the kitty? Hey, look, that was the Republicans' fault, man. The Republican came in here and made me do it. They're racists and they're haters, which means I had to steal money from out of here. Doug Holtz Eaton, former head of the Congressional Budget Office. Remember, we've talked about them. What a just a Jesus Christ. I mean, get rid of this crap. You got Congress watching Congress, but they're bipartisan. I don't think they're in Congress. I think there's a couple of them that might be. I don't know. I just know that they seem to report to whoever pays them the most to report. That's what they report. And it seems ridiculous that we got to have yet another budget office committee and another subcommittee that we got to keep paying all these committees. I mean, Health and Human Services Secretary, okay, obviously the government, they don't have companies, they don't build websites, so they had to contract it out. I understand that. But you can't delegate that responsibility to an outside contractor, especially one that's had a reputation of being, incompetent in several countries. There's no excuse why somebody didn't say, show me the money. Show me what this website looks like. I want to see it for myself. There's no excuse why that didn't happen. There's also no excuse why they are mandating and forcing people to sign on and allowing people to sign on an insecure website, and that has been, I'm sorry, but that's fact. It's not opinion. This is a well-known fact. Why didn't Congress, I'm a little upset at Congress, knowing full well that the website was insecure, why Congress didn't step up, at least try to, anyway, to shut the website down until the security issues were fixed. Why that didn't happen, I do not understand. I do not know. I find that very disturbing with Congress. I'm very disappointed. John Boehner, you know, in between his little crying fits, has enough hair on his little schmeckle to do something like that, which he should. I mean, we all love John Boehner when he stands up and fights. Hell no, they won't. Yeah, he makes some great sound bites. But when it comes time to actually stand the line and hold your friggin' ground, you can't wait to drop trow and surrender. Unbelievable. I'm not saying anything personally against him. I've never met him personally. I think he seems like a nice guy. If I met him, I know I would have a good conversation with him. It would be friendly. But this isn't about being friendly. This isn't about friends. This isn't about friendship. This is about governing a country that's heading straight into the tank. And if we're not going to have people that are going to stand up and do their goddamn job and fight for what is right, and if you don't know what is right, you need to resign. But don't sit here and give me this goddamn cockamamie excuse that it's not the right time to fight. That right there is cowardly. That right there, as far as I'm concerned, that's wrong. You should be removed just for that comment. That's the wrong kind of attitude. We don't need that attitude in our Congress anymore. We don't need that attitude in any part of our governments anymore. State, local, federal, whatever. Church council president, I don't give a damn. But the back end, oh, wait a minute, I haven't finished yet. Doug Holtz Eakin, former head of the Congressional Budget Office, that's when I went off, says the back end, that information is supposed to be transmitted to insurance company. The insurance company knows who you are. They know what policy you've picked, in quotations. But the back end still hasn't been built. So insurers are dealing with massive confusion, missing information on who signed up and what subsidies did they get. Well, who's got what? Hey, you got that? Hey, I'll trade you two of those subsidies for one of these over here. I don't know. And how about another subsidy to be named later? How about that? Who signed up? Oh, who's got this? Who's got that? No, I don't see any chaos in the emergency rooms and doctor's offices. I don't see any chaos at all. I see it running smoothly. I see no chaos whatsoever. I see no people who have had enough and are going to snap and blow up. I don't see that at all. No, I see people being calm, cool, collected, happy. Oh, that's okay that you screwed up and I don't have health insurance. Oh, look at this. Here's a little rainbow for you. Oh, look at this. Oh, you want a unicorn? Oh, here you are. Look at that. Isn't that cute? You think that's going to happen? Really? You do? Wow. Interesting. I'll have to get back to you on that one. Sibelius insisted. No, I didn't finish this one yet. God damn it. Pay attention. But the back end still hasn't been built yet, so insurers are dealing with... Oh, yeah, we already covered that. Damn, I was right. So this is what happens. You can't read. Can't see anymore. I need glasses, but I just flat refuse to get the glasses. I know I'm going to drop them. I know I'm going to break them. I don't want to have to wear the stupid things. I'm flat refusing to admit the reality. I'm honest about my lies. That's what gets me in trouble sometimes, but it's true. If I want to quit tobacco, I say I do, but I got to want it inside. I got to want it inside, but I don't. Am I weak? Does that make me weak? I guess if you want to consider it weak. I don't really consider it at all. I like it, so I do it. When I'm ready to quit, I'll quit. When I'm finally ready to realize a reality that I can't frickin' see, and I start bumping into moving trucks, then I guess I'm going to have to get my ass down to the doctor and get some frickin' glasses. But until then, I'm just going to do the best I can. Sebelius insisted once again on Wednesday it would all come together and insurance companies will get their money. Oh, I'm sure they will. Oh, yeah. Don't think for one second that these insurance companies are not going to rank up all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm going to rack up this and rack up that. And bop, 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 bop. Look at this. I had all these patients over here. Pay me. You know the government. Oh, they're going to look into it, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. There's going to be people sneaking through the cracks, and their friends are going to be making tons of money. It all depends on who's the friendliest with this administration that will survive. Otherwise, those insurance companies that, well, are not favorable to the king will go bankrupt, will go out of business. Don't think for one second that that's not going to happen. Now you're going to have literally millions more people uninsured. Insurance companies are all over. They're going to happen all over the United States. You're going to have millions of more people unemployed and uninsured. It seems to me that this Obamacare was not so much sent out to increase people to get insurance, but it was to decrease the amount of people who had insurance. Now, why is that? Well, I mean, if you really want to go, you know, to the nth degree that this is some master plan to bring everybody poor and lower the quality of life and have all these people, you know, finally just die so it's easier to have more control. I can't go quite all that far, but it is leaning towards a similar mindset of that. It at least has that appearance. It has the possibility, which means that if you have a possibility of going over the cliff, you must take that possibility serious and turn your ass around. Power and planet Earth. I don't feel that way anymore. I'm sorry, but this administration, I don't feel that way anymore. I lost a little bit. Well, actually, again, after Reagan, it just seemed to like to, you know, trickle downhill, and then Clinton came in, Bush screwed up a bunch of stuff, and now we got Obama, which blew us completely out of the goddamn stratosphere. We're heading straight for the goddamn sun, and we're going to melt and blow up. But we can turn around. That's the beauty of this. But we have to do it. Just like me, if I want to quit smoking, well, I just got to quit. I want to quit chewing tobacco? Well, got to quit. I want to quit drinking? Well, I got to quit. Want to quit doing this? I got to quit. Quit eating bags of Cheetos and chocolate bars and candy. Well, then just quit it. It's the same thing. And you're never going to do it unless you do it. But we can't do that. We can't turn around because then we'll look like we're weak and then we have to admit defeat. So we've got to pull this through. We've got to make it work no matter what. No matter how many lives are lost, no matter how many lives are ruined, no matter how many people have lost their jobs. We've got to do it. If we got to raise taxes, raise taxes. We got to take people out of the upper class and middle class and bring them down to the lower class, and we got to do it as long as it works, as long as we can get it up and running. And we have total control over people. That's all we need to do. That's what, to me, that's what I think the real crux is just simply to have the power, have the control. You have control over people's health care. You have control, literally, over their lives. Once they take away the Second Amendment, which is coming fast, man. I mean, all the laws that they have shall not be infringed. I can't see how you can possibly pass all these laws and not tell me that shall not be infringed was not infringed. Infringed. That word, infringed. Maybe liberals don't understand what that word means. It means that you don't touch it. You can't mess with it. You can't play with it. You leave it alone. It's not yours to touch. You can look at it, but don't breathe on it. Leave it alone. You can't have it. It's not yours. Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Meaning they can't take away your gun, even in the inner cities, D.C., New York. Look at all these cities that have all these gun laws where you can't have guns in the city. They have more guns than any other city. Look, you take away the gun, you're not going to ever get rid of the gun. People are going to get guns. There's a black market. I don't know, maybe you've ever heard of it, but that's where criminals get their guns. You see, criminals get their guns through the black market. The law-abiding citizen has to go through all the bureaucracy. But the law-abiding citizen is the one being affected and the one being hurt and the one having their rights and liberties and freedoms taken away from. The criminal is not affected. And that's preventing gun crime by how? That overreaction of that 10-year-old using his hands to mock a bow and arrow and his buddy to reciprocate with his right hand in the form of a gun. Your overreaction, teachers, your overreaction, principals, your overreaction, buffed up, steroid-induced, roid-raged-up cops coming in there to arrest these kids. How is that preventing any gun crime? Has it prevented any gun crime with this so-called zero tolerance of yours? Has it? How does that, what message does that send to the children? And then you kick them out of school if they do it. They got to be arrested and suspended. Do you think that they really learned their lesson? Do you think that's a lesson that they learned? Think it's a right lesson to learn? You think that that punishment's a little strict? Maybe if you sat down and talked to them about what guns really are and what they can do and you know, that kind of stuff. Maybe if you sat down and actually taught the student rather than call the police because you as a teacher can't handle your job. You can't handle a 10-year-old, for Christ's sakes. Get the frig out of the classroom, you idiot. Mocking a gun or a bow and arrow with your hand is not a threat. I mean, we will get them paid, she said. There is no question about that, so we are on track. Yeah, you're on track. The wrong track, going the wrong way. For now, though, officials concede they're relying on estimates from the insurers. Here's who we think we have, and here's the subsidy we think we owed, explains Jim Capretta of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Oh, now they got a public policy center. They got an Ethics and Public Policy Center. They've got more policy centers. What are all these policy centers? You don't need policy centers. All you do is open up your goddamn door and look outside. Look at your neighborhood. There's your policy center. Policy is done. 91 million people out of work. You need a policy center to figure out what the hell the problem is? Maybe because all the businesses aren't allowed to conduct business? You think maybe that might be, you know, part of the problem, huh? You need to form a committee and subcommittees and get a big center of ethics? Jim Capretta goes on, please send us a check from the Treasury. Chuckling. So that must mean he was sarcastic. the honor system again, in quotations. There's no way to effectively match policies and people, says Holtz Eakin. And on top of that, you can't match policies, people, to the federal subsidies, and that's a big problem in terms of just the mechanics of making the payments. Really now? This is all, wow. Never heard this stuff before. I mean, this is stuff they're coming out and acting like this is news. Like, we've never heard this stuff before. We knew it from the October 1st when it opened up. We knew that it wasn't completed yet. We've always known that this hasn't been completed, and why are we allowing this website to continue? Why has Congress not shut this website down until it is secure and completely built? Why has Congress not done this? Why have they not intervened? Why have they not stood up? Oh, because it's not the right time to fight. We'll just let Obamacare collapse on its own. Yeah, well, destroying how many millions of people's lives in the goddamn process, you assholes. What the hell's the matter with you? This is what I'm talking about, the common sense, man. You know it doesn't work. You know it's affecting these millions of people's lives, and you continue to do it. And those that do know it won't stand up and fight. Say no. Stop. This is where we step in, the American people. We need to vet these people. We need to start paying a little bit closer attention to these people. It sucks. First of all, you shouldn't have to monitor Congress. We've got a constitution. We've got our rules and regulations. We should just be able to expect our government is going to follow it. But they're not. Obviously, we've seen that they're not. That's pretty evident. So it's up to us. We are the employer. We need to do a lot of firings. We need to, well, reorganize. We need to put those people in that realize what the problem is and have a solution to fix the goddamn mess. And if they're not willing to fight, they have no business being even on the ballot. Get rid of them. We should challenge every single race. From the church council president all the way up to the highest office of the land that is in the election. There's a governor running, vote the bastard out. A senator running, vote the bastard out. A representative running, vote the bastard out. The dog catcher, vote the bastard out. They're not going to stand up and do their job, costing you more and more money. They're going to keep taking more and more millions of people's jobs, more and more millions of people's health care away from them. Turn this entire country into Detroit, which breaks my freaking heart. Detroit has far too much American history in that town to allow to go bankrupt like that. That is just absolutely goddamned wrong, man. That is not right, man. That is wrong. That is deep-rooted wrong. That's what that is. But here we are. It's the Republicans' fault. After 70 years of Democratic rule, it's Republicans' fault. The administration emphasizes that fixing the site by mid-March is urgent. Really? You think? Kind of like when Benghazi was under attack, you know, that embassy? Yeah, it was urgent to send, you know, help. Maybe we might have been able to rescue somebody or save somebody's life or, well, capture some of those people that were in on it and maybe interrogate them, find out who did it and persecute them, prosecute them, do what we got to do. We got to kill them, we got to kill them, whatever. Is that what you mean by urgent? Urgent to save your ass, but not urgent enough to save a four American brothers' ass. Our ambassador, all the Marines and Navy that we had there, all the security. That's not urgent. But when it comes to saving my ass, my legacy, well, then that's when the king decides he's got to move. It's got to be urgent because the king's name is on the line. Meanwhile, these people's lives were on the line in Benghazi, but that's not urgent. And he was allowed to be reelected. But that right there is very telling. And that's scary, and that's wrong. The mindset and the culture in this country needs to be fixed immediately. About frickin' face, man. Meanwhile, a new Quinnipiac. I hate that stupid word, by the way. Can they find something else? Quinnipiac. Actually, it's a pretty cool name, though. Almost sounds, I think it's, well, I would imagine it's Indian. Quinnipiac. Meanwhile, a new Quinnipiac. All these polls. These polls are bogus, man. They ask 1,000 people. How do they figure? How do you sample 100% of America with 1,000 people? First of all, who are these people? Are they people you know what kind of answer you're going to get? I mean, who are these people? Are they college students? Are they this or that? How can you take 1,000 people and say you've got an exact look of how the American people feel? 1,000 people? I don't take very much stock in these polls. Whether they're favorable for something that I want them to be favorable for or not. First of all, why do you need to have a poll to help you decide on what you're going to vote for, what you're going to like, what you're going to... It's like people like critics. You know, why do you really need to read what somebody else wrote about it to make a decision? Well, I was going to see a show. Well, the critic panned it. Well, then let's not see it. Well, the critic says it was really great. Oh, let's go see it. Then you find out it's a mutt. Why don't you be your own critic? Go see the show. You either like it or you don't. Don't take other people's words. Don't take stupid polls' words for it. Take your word for it. And if you don't know what your goddamn word is, well, go out and investigate stuff. Go out there and do a little bit of research. Find out. Or just stay the hell out of it and shut up. Go back to your couch. Open up another bag of Cheetos. But shut up. All right, let's open up my treasure chest here, see if we can plunder any booty. Oh, look at this now. Uh-oh. See, there's more and more stories that are coming out. And they're giving you the same information that, well, I know I've talked about it, and I know you know it. Anybody who knows it. Everybody knows it. Nobody's stupid in this country. We do stupid things, but nobody's really, really stupid. Well, Nancy Pelosi, she's really, really stupid. I'm sorry, but I can't let her go. And there's far too many people in Congress that we have, both left and right, that are just too stupid. There's no excuse why they're in leaders of our country. We can't be having the stupid ones in leading our country anymore. We need to have the best of the best of the best of the best. We're America. I'm sorry, but I do believe in country pride. I believe in other... come on. It doesn't matter what country you are. If you're from Liechtenstein, man, you got to have Liechtensteinian pride. So what? Your country's the size of a park. What difference does it make? We don't have American pride anymore. Well, when our governments keep doing the things that they keep doing and have been doing for far too long, what is there to be proud of? Certainly not proud of our government not sending any help, not once but twice, to go help our embassy under fire and our annex building. There was a twofer. They're attacking us on both fronts. We didn't send any help. Nothing. We didn't send anybody until 2 weeks after it's already been looted. CNN was to come over and extract evidence. CNN gets to the crime scene before our military and our FBI. Huh. Actual unemployment rate, 37.2%. Not 6.7, says the Wall Street Advisor. Well, I think we all pretty much know that. I mean, just do the math. 91.5 million and growing people are unemployed out of 320 million? Do the math. Well, I think it's 92 million now are unemployed, whatever the number is. But do the math. You know for a fact that it's not 6.7. So if you're going to be naive and gullible enough to accept the government telling you that unemployment rate is 6.7 and we're dropping and the economy's growing and the middle class is expanding and everything is great and unicorns and rainbows for everybody, if you believe that, you've got some issues, man. You need to get these issues rectified. Cured would be a better word for it. Look, it's okay to accept the reality. I've accepted the reality that I just simply cannot play center field for the New York Yankees. It's just nothing I can do about it. I would love to. I've got all the great, I've got the mindset, man. And I would give it my 100%. But it just wouldn't be enough. But in today's society, I could use the, well, I could use the race card. Joe Girardi is a racist. He's a hater. He will not let me play center field because, well, I just simply don't have any talent because he's a hater. He's a racist hater because he won't let me play center field because I don't have any talent. This is what we get from everybody. I'm just using race and hate as just an example. It has nothing to do with race. But people use anything as an excuse for the fact that they're just simply not qualified for the job. Or they can't do the job, or they got this, or they got that. It's always something else. It's everybody else's fault. Because this person that won't hire me, well, they're haters. They're this, they're that, whatever excuse you can use, you're going to use it. Forget the fact that you have absolutely no freaking talent. It's okay to admit that you're wrong. It's okay to admit that your limitations. I don't have near enough hair on my schmeckle to jump out of a goddamn airplane. I don't care how many parachutes I'm wearing. Not interested, period. I do not have enough in my mind to do something like that. Now, if there was an emergency, we got this and that. I'm sure, of course, you gotta let nature take over. But to deliberately go up in an aircraft and jump out of it, no. I'll sit on the ground. I'll watch it. Secret dealing. Emails show cozy relationship between EPA. And environmental groups. Really? I think this is news? Oh, God, this is breaking news. My Lord Almighty. This is just driving me nuts. The news is coming out with all these fancy schmancy headlines and all this stuff and acting like this is new information. Like we didn't know this stuff before. What are you kidding me? Unfortunately, however, there are a lot of people that did not know it, that do not know it, never heard of it. That's why they voted for Obama the second time and voted for Mr. McAuliffe in Virginia. I cannot believe Virginia would vote for their own unemployment. I cannot believe that. Those coal mines were pretty, well, pretty big part of Virginia's economy. And I say were because they're going away. Bye-bye. Fracking protesters arrested for gluing themselves to the wrong gas pumps. God almighty. Let me check this out here. I got it. Oh, idiots. Unbelievable. Where are we? I've got a bunch of stuff coming in my ear, and I can't hear anything. What the hell? Oh, my God. I don't know if it came out over the air. I don't know if you were hearing it, but all kinds of weird noise and stuff was coming in my ear. I couldn't hear anything. I apologize for that if you heard it, but good God. Anyway, on Monday, four members of an anti-fracking group wound up in jail for using bicycle locks and glue to fasten themselves to gas pumps at a petrol station in Great Lever, England. Oh, very good. Oh, we'll just glue ourselves here. Oh, look at that. Yeah, we've glued ourselves to the wrong pump. Oh, dear, whatever shall we do now? See, these people, I mean, I'm sorry, but all these goddamn activist groups, anybody's going to be stupid enough to, tie yourself up to the train tracks or glue yourself up to a gas pump and any of that stuff? Stand in front of the Greenpeace, you know, moving their ships over the missiles. So that, I mean, it's just, people are idiots. We had a little bit of that once. We were firing on Catalina Island on the other side. Not the resort part, but the other side. They were trying to do something. It didn't last very long. There was another boat, another ship that came out there and pretty much kicked their ass, and that was the end of it, and we commenced our firing. But, you know, I mean, look. There's ways to get your point across, and there's ways not to get your point across. You can throw a fit like I do half the damn time. Whether that's working or not, who knows? But when you chain yourself up to, you know, dangerous stuff and doing this kind of stuff, I mean, you just make a complete jackass out of yourself. This Occupy movement are just going to stay there? Stay there for what? Until what changes? Huh? I mean, how is that going to make somebody change? Well, those people are camping out over there. We better change our ways of running Wall Street, boys. Okay, they mean business. They're camping. And Obama's got a pen. Well, we better sharpen up, boy. I tell you, he's got a phone, too. Good God, no, not that phone. Oh, anything but the phone. Oh. Bunch of knotheads. The group sacrificed themselves in order to protest the hydraulic fracking activities of Total. It's a French petroleum company. Total. That's a nice name. Total. Says it all, doesn't it? But to their embarrassment, the group sacrificed themselves to the wrong petrol station. Oh, hell. Which was no longer owned by Total. Uh-oh. The petrol station was owned by Certus Energy, who neglected to take down the signs after buying the station. So these knotheads think that they're doing some big, great, wonderful, you know, saving the environment. We end up getting arrested. The guy lost a bunch of business. They were, you know, for over 6 hours. I mean, look, if you got to go to that to do something like that, I mean, you're just making a jackass out of yourself. Has it solved anything? Has any of those stupid, did Occupy Wall Street solve anything? The only thing that solves things is voting. That's our defense. That's how we fight. We fight with our vote. That is a very powerful weapon if we use it and use it properly. We need to vote to take that pen out of this president's hand. He's using our pen. That's our pen. The American people decide on what laws that we want for us, not one man. Israel foils al-Qaeda plot to attack American embassy in Tel Aviv. Well, you know, we're not going to do it. We're not going to send any troops to protect our embassies. We didn't do it in Benghazi. Why the hell should we do it in Israel? Iranian official on nuke deal. We did not agree to dismantle anything, of course. I mean, really? You really think Iran's going to get up, just give up their nuke deal? They're going to dismantle this and they're just going to comply with Obama's pen? Look, being naive and gullible like this and trusting especially anybody anymore. We can't trust our own government, but our government should not be trusting any other government, period. If you're going to be that naive and that gullible to trust these people, you're just opening up the door for, well, a lot of really bad things. There's no excuse to be making deals with these people. You cut their sanctions off. You don't give them a damn thing. They shouldn't be why should we be giving them anything anyway? I mean, who the hell are these? These people hate us. And we got to keep giving these people money that hate us? How come they don't give us any money? How come nobody gives the United States any money? I mean, if we're going to be giving all this money out to all these people who hate us and want to kill us over people that are, you know, so-called all these people that are starving, of course, the news says that there's all these people that are starving, and that's why we need Obamacare, and we need Obama to fix it, but he's just making more people starving. Why don't we take that money instead of giving it to all these other countries that hate us and want to kill us and put it to some good use in our own country? Well, we tried that with the stimulus, but it didn't go to the people who needed it. It went to their friends and their unions and all their donors. The in crowd never goes where it's supposed to go. Then something might get done. We can't have that. Turn down the thermostat to support weight loss. So now they're trying to link being cold with losing weight. Okay, look, it may have some effect. It may do this, it may do that, but not really enough to make a big to-do about it. And find something else to, well, study, scientists. Okay? Look for a black hole. Get a telescope, do something else. But don't waste my time with all this nonsense. And people are obese. We got to lower obesity. And while they're trying to do everything they can to get you in the mindset of rationing health care. Look, when it's freaking cold, man, I mean, nobody likes to be cold. I like to go to bed at night. I like to be warm in my bed. And I do like to have air coming through, but sometimes it gets so cold that you can freeze. But I do like it a little bit cold when I go to sleep. But when I get up, I don't want to be walking around in, you know, subarctic temperatures, especially in my skivvies. Feds interrogate man wearing Google Glass in movie theater. I almost got into that yesterday. I don't know if we'll get into it today, but it's just absolutely ridiculous. The fact of the overreaction of our police departments, the police force, we need to start being a little bit more responsible. We can't keep up with this crap, man. Cops, you want respect from us? Well, then, you know, you're going to have to respect us, too, you know? Start making some intelligent decisions. Like, okay, there's no threat here. Just because I show up to a call does not mean that I got to take somebody to jail. And if I don't, then my boss is going to ask, well, why wasn't somebody arrested? You're not doing your job. That's not what your job is for. I'm sorry. I don't need to be a cop to know that you're not doing your job. When you're harassing citizens, you're not doing your job, period. You don't need to overreact. You don't need to send the FBI in there to interrogate somebody wearing Google glasses because they think he's going to be filming the movie and, you know. I don't even know what these stupid Google glasses really are. We live in a weird society, man. I'm tired of it. Somebody drive me up this picture, for Christ's sakes. Oh, look at this. Fugitive U.S. leaker Mr. Snowden fears for his life. Well, I'm sure somebody's out to kill him. Actual unemployment rate. Let's get this going here. 37.2%, not 6.7, says Wall Street Advisor. In a memo obtained by the Washington Examiner, David John Murata makes a calculated case that the real unemployment number is 37.2, not the official, in quotations, government number of 6.7%. Murata accurately points out that while the unemployment number has been declining, the number of Americans leaving the workforce, the people actually out of work, has been steadily increasing to record numbers. No, wait a minute now. How could the unemployment rate go down while the number of people leaving and staying out of the workforce are going up? Gee. Murata also points out that the, in quotations, misery index, an economic calculation made famous during the Carter administration. Well, the Carter administration was the misery index. Is at a 40-year high. Yeah. Don't believe the happy talk coming out of the White House, Federal Reserve, and Treasury Department when it comes to the real unemployment rate and the true misery index. Well, we've been saying that since the beginning. We all know it. We've even had the so-called press corps. Well, should be called the depressed core. I mean, you get a couple of questions here and there, but you don't get any real browbeating. It's time to start browbeating people, man. It's time to hold people's feet to the fires. And we ain't lifting your feet until you start telling the truth. Then your little toes are going to burn, and they're going to burn off. Then your heel's going to burn. The whole foot's going to burn. And it's going to keep burning. It's going to go up your legs. Now tell us the damn truth. That's metaphorically. I'm not really advocating putting somebody's actual bare-ass feet to an open flame. Any liberals are listening, they'll take it. Well, he's trying to burn people. That's right, because I'm on the right. I hate people. I got to burn people. I got to kill them. I got to hang them. I got to burn them. Cut them up in little pieces. In a memo to clients provided to Secrets, the hell is Secrets? I think that's a company name. David John Murata actually calculates the actual unemployment rate of those not working at a sky-high 37.2%, not the 6.7% advertised by the federal government, and the misery index at over 14, not the 8. Claimed by the government. Murata, who recently advised those worried about an imploding economy to get a gun, said that the government isn't being honest in how it calculates those out of the workforce or inflation, the two numbers used to get the misery index figured. The unemployment rate only describes people who are currently working or looking for work. Yeah, we all know this crap. My God, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Jesus Christ, get to the point. The point is that we've all known the unemployment rate is not 6.7 or 7% or this or that. It's much higher. All you have to do is math. 92 million out of 320 million, or however many people are qualified to be in the workforce. I think 320 million is everybody. So you know that number is higher. It's probably even higher than 37.2. The point is, it's not good. The American people are not prospering. Our quality of life is going down. The middle class is shrinking, and this is ridiculous, and this is all caused by government. It's not caused by the people. The people did not ask for this. Well, we voted for it because we were too naive and stupid. We couldn't find the time to get off of the couch, put down our bags of Cheetos, and actually do a little bit of friggin' research. That would be too much. Secret dealing emails show cozy relationship between the EPA and environmental groups. Really? No, the EPA? No, they're not corrupt. No, the EPA, man, that's that commando squadron that swoops in out of trees. Yeah, they come equipped with complete body armor, machine guns and sidearms, taser guns, all just to test the water, man. Yeah, Chicken Alaska. They're not corrupt. Let's find out what the hell this story's all about. I'm shocked to even read the headline here. Oh, I better take a sip of grog if we're going to get into something like this. Wow. Accusation of corruption within government agencies? Get the hell out of here. Newly disclosed emails suggest senior policy officials at the Environmental Protection Agency and environmental groups are working closely to kill the Keystone XL pipeline. Of course they are. It might create jobs. People might actually have some, you know, stability, security. Might be able to buy food. You know, maybe a car. Get around, take the kids to, you know, soccer practice. You know, buy little Susie some new shoes and that dress so she can go to the prom. Help little Johnny, you know. Work on his car. Well, can't do that. No, no. You can't own a car, man. He's a kid. No, no, no. You got to be approved from the government before you can even get a driver's license. And then to get a car, it must be different. You got to have connections. You need recommendations. It needs to go through, you know, a congressional hearing. Because we just don't want all these people out driving. We only want the in crowd to have the responsibility to drive. Well, we don't need to have the peasants drive anyway. We can save all the fuel. We can save the planet if we just put these people into these tiny little, well, areas and, you know, big high-rise buildings where they all live. And they just take the elevator down to the floor, and they got where they work, and they got the schools, and they've got everything that they need. You can do all their shopping. They don't need to leave. And if they do leave, well, they get into these little pods on a train, and they go to the other pod. They can't go outside these little government-mandated ghettos, because if they do, well, you're violating natural law by, well, interrupting wildlife. See, that area is for the animals. And since us human, we're bad animals, we shouldn't even be on planet Earth because we're so vile and awful. That since we are on planet Earth, we must be controlled. And that's where the government comes in, because they're looking out for the best interest of the entire planet, because it's melting and we're all going to die because of George Bush invented global warming. These damning emails made it clear that the Obama administration has been actively trying to stop this important project for years. Of course he is. Senator John Barrasso, the Republican from Wyoming, who has long advocated for the Canada to Texas pipeline's construction, said in a statement to Fox News. The emails were obtained under a Freedom of Information Act request by the Energy and Environmental Legal Institute. Now, what the hell is that? Energy Environmental Legal Institute. Like what? Energy and environment, it's got to be legal. They got a team over there to decide what is legal. I mean, shut up with all these institutes. We got too many people doing just nothing. But they all got a fancy title to it. They're all in institutes. No, we can never get any goddamn thing done. We have too many bureaus. Everybody's doing the same job and nobody's getting it done. In one communication, Lena Moffitt of the Sierra Club wrote to three senior policy staffers at the EPA, including Michael Goo, who was then the associate minister for the policy. Thanks so much for taking the time to meet with us on Keystone XL yesterday. Looks like Lena Moffitt wrote. Let me know if I can be helpful in any way, particularly. God, why do they gotta put that goddamn word? I cannot say that word. I've never been able to say it. Never been able to say particularly. I can't do the L. There's the R and the L's together. That's what I don't like. Why people got to mix the, you know, the continents together? Drives you nuts. Just make words that are easy pronounceable, and we're going to have no troubles. Start putting all these words with all these different letters and no vowels. rolls of the tongue, whatever. I can say particular. I just can't add the L-Y at the end. A broken left-handed tongue just will not do it. Just won't work. Particularly in further identifying those opportunities for EPA to engage that don't involve throwing your body across the tracks. This story's already just boring as hell. But you know that they're in cahoots with everybody. Everybody's got to take over everybody. Why they are so against this Keystone Pipeline, I just don't understand it. Why would you want to be against something? I mean, we get oil from the Middle East. These people who are protesting this pipeline all drive cars. They all benefit from oil. They buy plastic. They wear shoes. They wear clothes. Women wear makeup. You can't get around oil. I'm sorry, but everything that you buy, damn near everything, is processed from oil. Everything plastic, rayon, nylon. That plastic container that you put your organic strawberries in comes from oil. Rubber. We don't use real rubber anymore. It's all synthetic, made from oil. Why would you want to take away something that's going to build jobs, create jobs, build more prosperity so more jobs can open up? Why do you want to keep that from happening? Why do people, why are they just damn determined to turn every city into Detroit? I don't understand that philosophy, but that's the direction that we're heading. How these people cannot see that's the direction we're heading is simply mind-boggling to me. And everything that we have said that will that was going to happen when it, in reference to Obamacare and liberalism, period, everything that we have said about these policies has come true. But yet we're the haters and the racists and the liars and the cheaters and the bridge closers and the gift takers. But allowing the enemy to attack and not sending, you know, troops who wanted to go help, that's not a scandal. Allowing weapons to go into the hands of Mexican drug cartels and then not trace them and get one of our border agents killed. There's been other Mexicans that have been killed. That's not bad enough, but we got to now take these same Mexican drug cartels with our guns crossing the border and taking their children that they are smuggling across that border to their illegal parents that are here illegally. Not a scandal. Nothing to see here. An IRS targeting. Targeting claim. We may not have time to get into it today, but I got it here somewhere. I didn't have time to get into anything. I tried, but we're running out of time. And I'm trying to speed this story up. But if you've listened to this show at least once, you know I talk about the EPA every day. I can't stand them. We all know that they're corrupt. I just don't understand what their real motive is. That's what's mind-boggling to me. What is their real motive? Why is it so important for them to make sure there's no oil coming? Are they really that against oil? But then how can they be so hypocritical? Everything they buy comes from oil. None of this stuff makes any sense to me. I think they're smart enough to realize, you know, all their products they buy comes from oil. They have to be. They can't be that stupid. So why is it so important? Why is it so important for them to save the planet by forcing you to buy mercury-laden, baby-killing light bulbs from China, who has a bad reputation of putting lead in their toys that we just can't seem to stop buying? Where's the common sense in any of this? Please, somebody, stand up and explain it, for Christ's sakes. If we're going to fix this, guys, we have to fix this. And we have to fix this with our vote. We can't change any of the stuff. We all know the problems that's going on. We all pay attention. We all know. We all feel it. We all see it. We all hear it. We all live it. We can't be that stupid that we don't know what the goddamn problems are. So we know we've got a problem, so we just have to fix it. Well, our defense, our weapon, is the vote. If the vote is not corrupt, which I'm sure it's going to, every vote, every election I'm sure has some corruption in it somewhere from somebody. But if we band together and we don't allow ourselves to be corrupt and we vote for an educated vote, I'm not saying that you got to go find a candidate that's in your district that you vote for and go become his best friend or her best friend. Just do some research. They have town halls all over the place. It's easy to go see these people. You don't really have to see them. You just have to do a little bit, you know, a little bit of research. It doesn't hurt. You don't bleed. And you feel pretty good at the end because you've gained some knowledge. You are now able to make an intelligent, logical, responsible decision. And being responsible, it is a rather rewarding experience. But people don't want to be responsible because that means if they're responsible, they're now accountable. So if anything goes wrong, they're going to get blamed for it. But nobody wants to take the blame for it. That's why the government hired these companies. So they don't have to take the blame for it. Kat Sebelius says her name is free and clear, man. I didn't touch on it. I didn't know nothing. I asked them questions. They told me everything was working fine. Boop, 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 boop. The president, oh, how's it going, guys? Oh, it's going great, Mr. President. Sure. Okay, all right, thanks. Nobody bothered to say, well, he's going great. Well, show me. It's everybody's fault for that. But the government thinks that they can get away with it by firing now this company, who's been fired by everybody in every country that they've ever been in. So they bring on this new group. God only knows what they're going to screw up. But no, this government was responsible. Congress is responsible now for ensuring that all those people from the ground up who were supposedly supposed to be responsible for setting up Obamacare, they've got to be held accountable. And if it means it goes all the way up to the president, then so be it. It doesn't matter. It's not the point. First of all, Congress, you need to reprimand yourself for allowing to pick and choose what parts of the law that he was going to implement and when he was going to implement. That should have come from you. Mr. Boehner, why you stood up, why you did not stand up and fight that? It is illegal. The president cannot just alter the law at any time he wants. He can't just implement and not implement any part of law without congressional intervention. You bitched about it, complained about it, and told the news, oh, yeah, he did this, and that's wrong. Really? Well, you're the Congress. You're the House. You're the Speaker of the friggin' House, man. You have the right to stand up and say, no, you can't do that. You have the right to fight it. You didn't. We don't need people like you. We have no room for people like you in our government, to use the vernacular of Mr. Cuomo. But it's much different to say we have no room for people who aren't doing their job and don't want to do their job and can't do their job and haven't been doing their job, much less because you have a different political view. That's much different. Saying we have no room for people like Boehner and Mr. King and McCain who just flat refuse to fight the fight, the real fight, the important fights, the little fights, the baby fights, the stupid fights, blah, blah, blah. They're right there in the thick of it. But something as hazardous to the American way of life, such as this Obamacare, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, NSA, stimulus packages, all this stuff, everything, anything you can think of. We can't fight that. For what? Why? Well, the president's black. What does that mean? Well, it'll look racist. How? This isn't about race. This is about policy. Benghazi is not anything to do with race. Well, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. I don't understand the accusations from the left. I don't get their accusations. It's like, how can you come up with something like that? I mean, you're so far away from reality. How do you get that? And then you can't tell them, no, I'm sorry, I'm not that way. They don't believe you. They know who you are better than you. Oh. Well, I've lived with myself my whole life. I always thought I was a certain way. Well, no, you're not. Well, why? Well, because you're on the right. You're a hater and a racist and a this. Really, I'm a racist. Wow. I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that. I hate people. Well, I just got the signal here. We are running dangerously close to being out of time. I never got into hardly anything, but, well, maybe we might finish a little bit more tomorrow. But we got a show tonight. It's going to be fun. If you had a chance, 303 West 42nd Street, 42nd and 8th Avenue. Come out and see a great show. Show starts at 6:30. And then you can vote for us. Anyway, we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Goodbye, everybody.